Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Hello, you're listening to spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray! And we are about to do a podcast. That we includes me, Richard. Hello. And also sniggering there is Jamie.
Yes, hello.
And more professional and silent while I do this shit intro is Anthony.
Hello.
And bringing up the rear, Abigail. Thanks for bringing the rear up. So this week we discussed a film selected by Jamie, isn't that right?
Yes.
What was that film and who made it?
That film was Sweet Home from 1989, directed by, I should have practiced these names before I started, but never mind. I'm
I feel
probably
like we should have a jingle for the number of times you have to apologize for trying to say Japanese people's name.
okay. Directed by Kiyoshi Kurosawa, who also wrote the film.
Why did you say directed by as if that was the Japanese bit you couldn't say? Directed by.
I was preparing for the name.
Let me get this straight. Acted by.
It stars Nobuko Miyamoto, Shingo Yamashiro, Juzo Itami, Noko, that one's an easy one, Fukumi Kuroda. I won't go through the whole cast because it's just going to be me stumbling over these people's names.
Not even sure the easy one was definitely right.
Noko? Noko?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's the 1989 movie, Sweet Home, that was released with a video game the same year.
Yes, a TV production crew are making a documentary about the infamous painter Mamiya Ichiro. When they start filming at his old home, they come under attack from the ghost of the painter's wife.
That's scary. My God, imagine that. Imagine, is it Gail Porto did Most Haunted? Is that who it is? Or
No,
was in
she
the
did the
early?
celebrity one. Oh, what was the one? Fuck. Okay, we're gonna go on a tangent about this now because I have to remember. Most Haunted was the one with Derek Acora.
Right, yeah.
Mary loves Dick. And what was the Gail Porter one? It was about celebrity ghosts.
Celebrity Ghosts. That'd be a great name for a show. Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Luther Vandross. What? What the fuck are we talking about? Oh, right. Yeah. Wouldn't it be weird, though, if something actually happened and they were in one of these most haunted type shows where they film night vision and get a medium in to pretend things, if they actually meant a hideous shadow monster that attacked you
I
and
think
burnt you alive.
you've just described the premise of a lot of low budget indie found footage films.
Yeah, but like ghosts, real ghosts are only ever on Most Haunted. Fiction is what we're watching. I want to see real ghosts, like you see, the ones that communicate with knocking a pipe or making someone feel a bit cold or something.
An
Real
orb.
ghosts. Being an orb that no one actually saw on the day. Some
An orb that
communicating
looks
in floating
suspiciously
across
like,
the
yeah, suspiciously like
camera.
dust or an insect.
Yeah, those ghosts you see that are maybe something in a window, but real ghosts, they're never as vivid as they are in fiction, are they?
I personally am very suspect of ghosts in windows because I'm so pale, I have been mistaken for a ghost in window.
Yeah, Halloween, we just pop Abby out through the window, save on rent. Scares off the trick or treat as a treat.
Put even darker circles under my eyes.
Just do a long shift and you're fine, there, you're good to
I think
go.
as British people, generally we appear as ghosts to most other people from other countries.
You don't get many British ghosts because life is so miserable as a ghost. It can't tell the difference between living in the hell like limbo.
Britain's one big haunted house.
My whole life is unfinished business. That's what my existence is. There's no point continuing that as a ghost. It's never getting done. Right, anyway, Jimmy, why did you pick this shit TV Japanese horror film for us to watch?
Two reasons. I'll start with the less obvious one. We all remember when Japanese horror films or Asian horror films kind of exploded in the late 90s and early 2000s in the West with like The Ring and Ju-on, which is Korean, I think. But like,
A myriad
I
of
think,
examples there.
yeah, millions of them. Dark Water. You want me to name a bunch of them? Here we go.
I you would try you wanted to name a bunch of them and then failed,
Why?
mate.
Why did you do that? Why did you go, Tim?
But no, we all like as people in the West who were
People, are
in,
you all right? Now you're
yeah,
worse than I am. As people in the
no,
West, we remember
like people in
what?
Western countries, whenever Japanese or Asian horror took off on the other side of the world, and we all saw movies with pale girls with long black hair, like the typical associations when someone says Asian horror. And I was kind of interested or curious to like go back in further in Asian cinema and look at older horror films, because I find like Japanese in particular, like mythology and culture around ghosts is really interesting because it's very bizarre and all, there's like really specific ghosts for specific things.
Unlike regular Japanese culture, which isn't ever bizarre in the slightest.
So that was one of them, is that I wanted to kind of explore some less typical, like, you know, you say Asian horror and everybody thinks of The Ring. The other reason, the more obvious one, is the history of this film being tied into the history of what would become Resident Evil and then like survival horror video games. Like this weird, mediocre, forgotten horror film somehow birthed what is now like an entire genre that's very popular in video games and kind of other like films as a result. Like it's one of those odd little like pop culture curiosities that I find really interesting, more interesting than the film itself, it turns out.
So did this came before Resident Evil, not it wasn't because of it Resident Evil, it was the
No,
other way around.
this is 89, and the first Resident Evil is 96. But just as I guess as a quick summary, this film was being made by a director who would go on to make a Japanese horror film that I really like in the 2000s called Pulse. But this was his first non, I think, softcore pornography Yakuza crime thriller film, and he wanted to do like a Western style horror film, which this is very like Poltergeist, a little bit of Evil Dead. It has Rick Baker, so I have an Exorcist connection, doing the like makeup effects. So this film was made, and at the same time, they made a game adaptation that's like a top-down RPG set inside the house. But it has a lot of the mechanics that would go on to be in games like Alone in the Dark. And then in the 90s, Capcom were working on a remake of that game that got like the remake aspect got scrapped and the game became Resident Evil. So
So
there's a
this is
direct
the
line.
origin point of a lot of influential pop culture-y things.
Yeah, a lot of, especially in like horror in video games, and I think some like game mechanics generally too. Like it's a very, the game was a very like complicated RPG with a lot of like surprisingly intense horror visuals for like, it was released on the NES, and like Nintendo notoriously aren't very big on like horror stuff and gore. I don't think it was ever released in the US. Like I think it was maybe Japan only. And this film as well has kind of disappeared because the director and the producer had a falling out. The film was released cut up without the director being told. And I think there's the rights just are in limbo. Like the film's never been released outside of VHS. Like So it's
That's
just
why the
this.
copy we looked at was so shit then. Yeah.
There are like, I don't want to make the entire episode about that. So there's like a couple of YouTube videos by, there's one short one that's about 15 minutes by the Gaming Muse that's like a good overview of this. And then there's a like a half an hour one by a YouTuber called Ragnaroks, Rocks with an X, that's like a 30-minute deep dive that goes into like the mechanics of how the game actually works. And they also both go into like the background of the film and how they were developed concurrently. So if anyone's listening to this and wants to
Yeah.
know that stuff, then those are two good sources that kind of taught me a lot about that.
We're
We're
not
here
a
to
good
plod
source, no.
through the tedium of the film itself.
We're reactionary, opinionated, non-fact checking podcast. Yeah, we're
Hey,
about.
I cited my sources for the background stuff.
I mean, what's over 400 episodes? Suddenly you're like doing a nice job of
Well, usually it's not worth
referencing other
it.
material. Spurious hearsay and half guesses are my port of call.
That's not true. We also speculate about the book sometimes too, if things are based on books.
Very occasionally, we've read them.
Sometimes we speculate that there is a book when there isn't. Oh, it's a screenplay. Oh, well, I'm glad we spent 15 minutes guessing what the book would have been like.
I take full responsibility for those conversations. I
Definitely.
apologize.
Well, going into this one, I didn't know those in that information you said. I knew it was connected to a video game, but I thought from the trailer that we saw, perhaps this movie was also partly a video game or something. Like I thought the footage, because the what was it like the film starts with an advert trailer thing that includes the video game or is for the video game.
Yeah,
I
which is a
thought,
great ad. I love that skeleton guy with his head bouncing up and down.
sure, but it didn't speak English, so I didn't know what he said. So I thought that meant that part of the video game was like, I thought video games played into the concept a bit.
Some of the shots and quality of the film stock do make it look like they are FMV cutscenes from a mid-90s game.
That is true, but I was expecting the top-down game to be like, I don't know how, but I figured, oh, if it's a wacky Japanese horror film, it could have been like, I don't know, a fucking cursed like NES game or something gets put in and someone goes into a haunted. Do you know what? It could have been like Jumanji or something. I don't know. I sort of imagined it being much more creative and stuff. And so when it
I was
was
going to say,
just,
that's actually a lot more interesting than what the film is.
yeah, I honestly thought the characters were going to be Jumanji style sucked into like a top-down game, and we'd see a little bit of that, and then we'd maybe have them jump out again. But it was just a classic spooky monster horror house story thing, like haunted house job. So that was a little underwhelming. So I went in confused as to what it was going to be, and not looking. I wasn't thinking it would be good either way. I thought not really my thing. Anthony, you're more of a horror fan and Japanophile, and or even you're a bit more of a horror gamer than I am. So was this something up your alley?
Absolutely. I watched the video by Ragnaroks that Jamie mentioned about, I don't know, 2 months ago, and since then I've been meaning to kind of like look into the film. So when the opportunity came to do it on the podcast, I was like, absolutely. But yeah, you're right. Like it kind of ticked all the boxes for me. It's like it's a Japanese, it's a horror, it's gonna be probably gory and fun. It's got video game connections, horror video game connections, RPG video game connections. I was just like, this is definitely going to be the film for me. So that's how I was going into it.
Unfortunately, fun was an incorrect expectation. Bits, we'll get to
Was
it.
there, but it was surrounded by a lot of nothingness.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a mild 2 versus 2 podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I did think some of the visual effects were like it was good to see practical effects done imaginatively and creatively and shown in a way to really be tr like it looked like the effects department really trying to do their best to entertain you and gross you out and stuff. So, kudos to that aspect. We'll talk
Yeah,
about it in more detail as we
that
go.
was the Dick Smith involvement.
Dick Smith. Yeah.
Dick Smith involvement sounds like
An
the Dick
espionage.
Smith.
Espionage film. Abigail, you don't feel to me like the sort of person who would be well into this. What was your anticipation like going in?
I've recently watched the old cartoon series Ghost Stories.
The double the
So
sum.
I hoped it would be like that.
Oh, is that the one with the really ridiculous dub? Because they like weren't given much direction or guidance, so they just
Yeah.
went fucking
Which,
ham on it.
yeah, it's the magic roundabout rule.
Yeah.
That's funny. Which I only asked you, which did you watch? Did you watch the sub or the dub?
Dub.
Wow.
Good.
Right.
So I
Yeah.
was in the
So.
mood. This started and it had that tone. I was like, yeah, I can do more of this. And then it lost that tone and I lost interest.
So, not wanting it to be good.
Yes.
So we're all hinting there's a little bit of a disappointment coming. But my main reaction, both I watched it, I tried to watch it three times. The reason I say tried is because the first time I fell asleep, second time I fell asleep. So I got about 40 minutes in and my eyes just kept closing. I was tired going in, so fair enough. But the second time I got up, I'd slept and I started to watch it in the morning and I had to go back to bed. I was so tired from watching it.
I was whenever I saw the runtime and then the film started, I kind of felt like, oh no, I can already tell this is longer than it should be.
I
Like,
feel
there's
like
like
I looked at
five
the,
minutes in.
but I was like, oh, it's not that long.
Yeah, I
So
know.
was it like hour, is it hour 40 or something?
Yeah, but
Yeah, bad.
you could easily cut a good 10 minutes out of it though.
Well, a lot of it is just the fact that it felt very TV quality. Like sometimes TV movies feel that way, and it did straight away. You can clock it. I mean, not just the aspect ratio is a little smaller, but also the quality of the cameras and the budget felt like you could feel it.
Yeah, like the
And
frame
then,
speed and stuff.
yeah, it was very much. It felt like a 90s TV, British TV thing as well. Like almost like. But guess because it's 89 Japan, that's the same technology as 90s
Maybe,
British
yeah, I'm not sure. I
cameras and
know
things.
there's a lot of, and I think part of it is because it's never been available beyond VHS, so it has like, it's never been like remastered or anything like that. There's no like cleaner look at it.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's why. But there's a
And
lot of
the
like,
acting as well, though, felt very TV
oh
drama.
yeah. No, I didn't think anyone was like bad
Not
in it.
bad,
It's
no,
just,
but then TV's
yeah.
professional. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with being a TV actor. There's just a quality difference between the big
Yeah.
screen and the little screen.
But there are a lot of cool like sets and miniatures that were built specifically for the film, and I think because of the quality of the way it's available now, you it's hard to like really see that stuff.
Gonna give it the benefit of the doubt that there could be a crisper version there
Well,
available.
if you hadn't fallen asleep, you might have seen the model of the house being destroyed at the end of the
I
credits,
did
which
see
like
the end bit. I know Abby didn't. Abby didn't see it because I noticed where she'd left it on. It returned when I turned it back on to watch it. She was in the
yeah.
credits before that had happened. So Abby, you didn't see the house
Oh,
crumble, did
sorry.
you? It was
There
right. It
is.
was after all the credits,
Yeah,
like the
it's
happy
right at the
music,
end.
the happy music and credits end, and then the house crumbles.
But yeah, there is one particular special effect that is absolutely wretched, which we'll get to.
And I don't know, it's the thing they do on Top Gear all the time, but it's dip dyeing the top of the screen so that the sky looks more atmospheric. So it's like
Yeah.
tinged in brown occasionally.
Also, the music is insane.
At times
It
it
is
was very like old-fashioned soap opera-y music to it, I
such
felt like.
I said it in the chat while I was watching it that like it has this recurring theme at the beginning of the film before things start turning like full horror that is like going to a town in like Final Fantasy, like one of the really old, you know, the old original top-down Final Fantasy games. It's that like jaunty MIDI, like 8 to 16-bit music.
Do you agree, Anthony? You're the big Final Fantasy fan. Does Jamie got a good observation there?
He does.
What did you think of the music overall?
I honestly, I don't remember it. I remember what Jamie was talking about, the kind of when they were first coming, it did have that. The first time you hear the kind of music, the MIDI style music, you're like, oh yeah, okay, I get it, video game inspired kind of thing.
It would have played into
But then
my
after that,
Jumanji
I don't
style
really remember.
concept. Fair enough. It didn't leave a big mark then.
No.
So who we got on the cast? It's a small group of people. Like you said, it's people investigating a abandoned house. It's been a what, abandoned 30 years?
Yeah, an artist's house that supposedly has a curse on it because of things that happened.
That baby's corpse is doing all right for a 30-year-old corpse, isn't
Yeah.
Also, one that was apparently cooked in a furnace. It's only got like a little burn on its face.
You reckon you could have dusted it off the child, it'd have been fine.
Yeah, just still good.
How much of a baby do you have to burn?
I was slightly annoyed when there's a scene in the middle where like the old man comes in and he does all the exposition of what's going on, and he's just like, oh, and yeah, and the baby just was in the furnace, and I was like, what? The baby
Well,
was just in
I mean,
the furnace.
some he did say that the baby had just learned to walk, and like you hear stories of like somebody's kid like climbed into the washing machine or something. Like
Yeah.
once they start walking, but if they're only like, I don't know, maybe two years old, so like they're still in that like stupid fucker period where like they'll just
Maybe, but
the
like,
walk.
the real danger is when you're over the age of 18 and you're stuck in a washing machine, then the stepson comes in, then you're in trouble.
Yeah,
The baby, though, we'll come back to that. That's a big part of the story. I just thought it was funny that it was 30 years, and then when they reveal a baby corpse, it's like, oh, that looks like a freshly made Jim Henson puppet. That's lovely.
I'm sure part of it. So one of the problems I have with this film once it get like towards the end is that like a lot of the supernatural stuff is just very arbitrary. And there isn't really like it doesn't really go into stuff. So I thought like, oh well, the baby looks like it does because of the curse. Like it's preserved in some way because it's in a state of like living death or whatever. That's n n maybe, I don't know. They never go into that really. But
Right.
the team of people is there's a key they're making a TV documentary, and there's a
About an artist's
Akiko.
house who has frescoes that are long forgotten and covered in
Yeah, and
dust in there.
they have a art expert on the team. So you have Akiko, who's the producer.
Right. That's a bloke, is it? The bloke?
No, that's the woman.
I thought the woman, oh, the woman with the big rope ponytail.
Maybe she's the director. They
Who
do
there's the
give her the
presenter who
title,
does
but
there's the presenter woman also is going to be restoring the frescoes, and then
yes,
there's
the presenter is Asuka. She's
right.
played by Fukumi Kuroda. I'm trying to make up for not going through all the names now.
Yeah.
And she's like a bit of an eccentric. And again, I thought it was going to be a thing that like she's maybe got some kind of like psychic abilities because she gets possessed at one point. But
Yeah,
then
she
she
comes
is.
in already looking like a psychotic widow.
Yes. And I think part of it is she's very dramatic and TV hosty because she's a TV art expert. So that's her
Right.
like persona. And then I thought it was going to be like, oh, and it turns out that she has like a medium abilities that are, nope, axe
Yeah,
to the head.
so nice.
There's Akira Taguchi, I think, who's the camera guy.
Yeah. Who
The
dresses
sort of
like Michael Jackson was very big in 89, I guess, so he
Yeah.
dresses as such.
He's played by Ichiro Furutachi, and he's the sort of the stock goofy one in the group
Well,
of horror
yeah.
film. Yeah, you know what I mean. Re
But he's
relatively
a
so.
jobbing cameraman. He's wouldn't say he's a comedy foil exactly, but he's like
Yeah. He's
the closest thing to that.
the closest thing to Shaggy in the gang that we have
He
here.
doesn't make any big sandwiches with a dog, though.
And then there's the sort of, I guess, main characters other than
It's weird they
the
went with the older
producer.
people are the ones, the boring producers, not the interesting TV
Well,
host and the young
you have
cameraman.
the main characters are like father and daughter. So there's Shingo Yamashiro plays Kazuyo Hoshino, and he's the like, I guess he's the producer. He's the person overseeing this whole thing and trying to get into the house by talking
Right.
to the officials who own it. And then there's Emmy, his daughter. That's the one played by...
She's just tagging along, though. She doesn't have a job on the set.
Yeah.
You know who we don't see enough of? In the civic office at the start, you've got that admin guy, but then you've got his boss, who's just fabulous.
Yeah, I know. He has the fucking goggles on at one point. I was like, what is happening here?
Never like, comes back, and I miss him.
I know.
Yeah, well, I thought he should have been like more in on the conspiracy or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be, because at the start of the film, he is like, you realize there's an opportunity here. Like, either the curse isn't real and we've got a tourist hotspot, or the curse is real and they all die and we never have to worry about it again. And I thought, like, oh, is he going to come back later? Like, is there a conspiracy? Is that some of the influence on Resident Evil? Because, you know, in that, there's the whole conspiracy, there's the lab under the mansion and all that stuff. Nope.
Nope.
No. Never comes back again. Don't see his cool goggles again.
Yeah, so producer's daughter. Who is the woman with a massive rope-sized ponytail? Is she also a producer?
I think she's maybe she's more of a director of the actual show itself, because she's telling Akira, the camera guy, like where to go, and like she's setting up shots and stuff. And then I think he's the producer.
The daughter also has ideas of setting up her dad with this woman.
Yeah, she really wants her dad to get laid on this trip, and she keeps basically telling him, "Come on, get your end away with the Kiko." Yeah. But yeah,
I'd say she's out of his. I mean, a little bit not right there. He's a bit old and fat, and she's older. But come on, this producer guy. But you need to bat in a different league, I think. Whatever.
He's also...
He's
not spineless necessarily, but he's a bit of a kind of wimpy, like not very assertive kind of guy.
Her dad also wears his coat conspicuously done up.
I think that's an era appropriate middle aged man thing.
Businessman wearing a ring coat, tidy, do it up.
Oh, I think he managed to stay shriveled in situations where he would not be shriveled anymore.
Shriveled?
Yeah.
He was very disheveled by the end when he'd been in a cupboard all burnt and
toast. It was still done up, though. It was shredded to fuck, but it was still perfectly done up.
It protected him. And it was somewhere to keep his random three-headed amulet or whatever it was.
Oh, that he got from the old man.
Why was that old man in old man makeup?
So, I guess let's get to that now. The old man, Mr. Yamamura, played by Juzo Itami, who is, as far as I could tell, a 30-something-year-old man in old man makeup.
Yeah.
Not the old man makeup, maybe not Dick Smith's best work. as much of a pioneer as he was. I think I accidentally called him Rick Baker earlier.
You did.
Which is the wrong guy. Rick Baker was the Evil Dead makeup guy.
Who was Doctor Who?
No, that was Tom Baker. Oh. No relation.
So who's Tom and Jerry?
Rick Baker may
what
also
are they?
Be like a bassist or a drummer for someone famous.
Wait, who? Oh, Rick Baker. Yeah, you're thinking of...
You're thinking of Rick Wakeman, who was a guitarist.
Yes.
he's
a
keyboard
player.
Yeah.
For Yes, and occasionally Black Sabbath. Anyway... For fuck's sake, Dick Smith. I meant
who's
Dick Smith.
Who's the baker who did that Pictionary panel show game on TV?
Danny
Baker.
Oh my god!
Win, lose or draw. So Danny Baker did win, lose or draw, and he also didn't have anything to do with this film.
Danny Baker once did a special on Sky about The Simpsons, and he really annoyed me because he called Matt Groening Matt Groening, and he called Lisa Lisa, and I was like, you've never watched a second of this show. All right, Rick, no, Dick Smith, Jesus Christ. I accidentally called him Rick Baker, and I meant Dick Smith. And
Matt
that's
Smith,
my...
he was a Doctor Who. So.
That's my that exorcist right? connection. I have a friend who knows Matt Smith.
What?
Because he works on Doctor Who. So Dick Smith is the makeup artist.
He did the
shit
old man makeup in this.
Yes, but he also did a lot of the other good special effects in this, and he was the makeup artist on The Exorcist. There's my Exorcist connection now with the correct name.
Okay.
But the old man makeup is not his best work. That said,
why were they doing it at all?
Why didn't they cast an old man?
Yeah,
because it was from 30 years ago, so they needed someone who knew the skinny on all the gory details.
Yeah, but I don't think you see him in any flashbacks or anything playing a younger version of himself.
Anything athletic except slap someone.
Yeah, and then he melts.
Because Stephen King writes characters who say, don't go down that road. And he was one of those pull into the garage, teenagers going camping, like, oh, what do you mean you're going to the old haunted house? Don't you want to hear about the curse? Wait, it's too late. Gets his life saved by the woman who's looking like he's working on a car.
I mean, I think that gives
him to death. It makes it worse, crushes him further, then saves him.
Was to justify why he sacrifices himself to help them. Although he has an almost hilariously gruesome death. It's amazing. I was going to say that's my favorite part of the film for two reasons.
That's the one bit where I perked up and was awake for. I was like, "Well, that's you're taking your time, and you've really gone to town on it."
He's there to save them and also to give exposition.
And then to be finished off like the clock from Nightmare, where it just slowly rots and melts away.
What a deep cut. Also, this. You were talking about like how TV this film looks. You just now I'm seeing like some of it looks a little bit like Nightmare with a slightly higher budget, but it has that like TV camera quality. The guy melts and then the host goes nasty. Old man who's not an old man, but for the purposes of the film, he's an old man, he's there to know things and
to fix cars.
And to save the main characters.
Do you reckon he was supposed to have been the artist?
I thought that's where it was going. So there's a couple of directions I thought he was going. The film feels like it's setting up a lot of stuff that it doesn't pay off. And I'm wondering if some of that is stuff that was like cut. Because again, apparently this version, the only version that's available is the one that was butchered by the producer. So I wonder if it did. There's a bit later on in the film where there's a really abrupt cut, and I thought I'd accidentally skipped ahead.
Do you want to speculate about the video game for a change? You can always, maybe he was more significant in the video game. Maybe he wasn't in the video game.
I think I assume he can be one of your party, but I don't know.
We're already doing it. I have no idea.
I thought it was going to be revealed that he was either the artist or that he was one of the people that discovered that the woman went mad and was kidnapping children and putting them in the furnace or whatever.
He could be one of the victims of the people. He might have known someone who had their baby stolen.
He does that whole... He knows what what's it called? A cairn? When they put rock... When you pile rocks. Is that what it's called?
Cairn is more of like a chamber.
You're thinking of architecture.
The totem thing that's there that like is keeping the curse at bay. He knows about that. He knows about the history of the house, and then he does that thing where he concentrates on squeezing the bottle and sings a song. And I thought that was being set up. Well, that's the thing. I thought it was being set up as some sort of ritual he does to like focus himself because he's like.
Well, if you sing a special drunken sailor song, you can then walk glass like
maybe
that contains booze.
Maybe he's like. I thought it was going to be revealed that he is like a priest or some kind of shaman figure in the town, and that's why he's like protecting the house. And
he's just brave old man who has the skinny on everyone.
And I was like, so what was, how did he fucking warp the glass? What happened?
Why did he warp the glass? What was that for? It wasn't even like the woman who had become a banshee or whatever. It's not like she was an alcoholic and he sort of tempted her with an old booze song and some liquor or anything. I thought the booze might have been significant. It didn't seem relevant.
No,
in translation. I don't know.
Well, no, I think it's that they threw a lot of stuff in that was because one of the more interesting but ultimately kind of failed things that this film does is it's deliberately taking Western horror tropes and putting them in a Japanese film and context. So that's why it, in a lot of ways, it feels really similar to, it reminded me a lot of Poltergeist. with a little bit of like Evil Dead in
Definitely
there
Evil
as
Dead.
well.
That Evil Dead even has a lot of throw everything at the wall and see what sticks to it.
It does, but the difference with Evil Dead is like it's pretty consistently funny and very fast paced, whereas
This was
this,
very slow paced, yeah.
yeah, and it's like it almost seems like it's going to be funny, and then it just drops the comedy aspect almost completely. It's
Well,
like tonally inconsistent, but it's taking ideas from a lot of like Western horror, like those two films, but also like there's some like Shirley Jackson influence in there with like the whole haunted house setup. There's a bit of Rich's favorite film, The Shining, in there with the idea of like.
I rewatched that recently, and I've come around on a lot of my opinions on it.
Oh my God.
Save that for another podcast.
I don't think we'll ever do The Shining, so.
It's too good.
I showed it to Abby for the first time, didn't we? We watched it, Abby. You watched it for the first time, right? Our favorite bit was it the bit on the stairs where Jack Nicholson's coming for his missus.
Oh, that's yeah, of course.
It's the best. Do you agree,
Wendy,
Abby?
give me the bag. I can't remember if does she legitimately hit him and he legitimately falls down the stairs? Was It really looks like
that?
she fucking dings him with that bat. It's either a very well shot scene or poor Shelley Duvall, who was horribly bullied by Kubrick on that film, just fucking snapped. And fair enough.
You're right. I had vibes of The Shining as well about this. I
Yes,
mean,
and
that's to pay a very heavy compliment to this because it wasn't
But that's what I
very
mean. It's
good.
taking bits and pieces very deliberately from those films and trying to
Right.
make a Western-style horror film in a Japanese framework.
But
But
it
the
doesn't make
problem
any
is,
sense.
well, yeah, the problem is it doesn't do anything with a lot of those. Like, it doesn't pay a lot of them
Right.
off.
Let's nail down some the stuff that happens, and it'll be easier to talk about it. So we've set up, we got this relatively small film crew investigating the haunted house. They've got a few lights and a bit of like they set up an energy generator to have a source of, energy to do stuff.
Power.
Power, yeah, thank you. And so, but they don't feel like they have enough crew to do this fucking TV show. But anyway, they start filming bits and they clean off the fresco and kind of unveil. Oh, it's a sort of Madonna and Child fresco. That's prescient. I think someone finds some old footage of a woman that then, thematically burns up in the camera that almost still worked.
Emmy, the daughter, she's
A
wandering around the
projector,
house.
projector. So they're sort of just looking around haphazardly and separately, and trying to film bits and carrying on like this isn't scary. We're just doing a TV show, and then they keep being apart for a while until stuff starts to go a bit horrible with
There's
it.
some creepy noises, and they, I think before anything properly happens, they find the other fresco where it's like a burned baby and what looked like demons, and
So
then
when the story is revealed, right? So eventually, the old man who they meet at a garage, or one of them meets at a garage, comes and explains things to them. How I guess he didn't get to warn them off, but like he explains stuff when it all goes wrong and how scary that the shadows are going to get you and all this shit. But he does a nice exposition dump story to tell you it. And so, in essence, the story is. The artist who lived there had a wife and a child. It took a long time trying to get a child. They got one. The child was born. It was a toddler. It climbed in a furnace, unbeknownst to the mum, who turned the furnace on, hideously burning and killing the child. In her grief, the mum was traumatized and then started kidnapping neighborhood children,
Yeah, and
feeding
burning
them
them
to
in the
the
furnace
furnace
because she
so the
wanted to give
child could
her
have
child
playmates.
playmates. Yeah.
It's the obvious thing to do when you're traumatized.
Well, some people don't deal with trauma very well.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, she
So
basically went
she's,
insane. And
and
then
then
I
eventually
think.
she threw herself in the furnace.
No, I think the village, the people in the town or the village
Right.
found out that it was her,
And they
and
said, well, if a furnace is good enough to kill a baby and all our babies, it's good enough to kill her.
I don't think they killed her. I think she killed herself after she was found out,
After the
and
discovery.
yeah,
It's one of
and
those,
then
it's one of that, it's that the old thing about like if you've got a hammer, everything's a nail. If you've burnt your baby in a furnace, everything gets burnt in a furnace. Yeah.
and then I think the artist just became a recluse and soon died.
But before he died, He was like, I did that nice painting of my wife. My wife and child inspired this one. How about the freaky ghost and my burnt child are in a painting?
There is a cathedral somewhere. Fuck, I wish I knew off the top of my head. I should have looked it up. But it's a guy who used to like sculpt these like incredible cathedrals, and then I
You
think
sculpt
that
a
it.
cathedral.
Well, you know what I
Do
mean?
the
He
sculptures
sculpted
for
the.
them,
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah. And then his wife died, and his sculptures changed. Like his grief, like fueled the change in his art, and they became these like still like amazing, but really morbid and frightening, like demonic things. Because
Just
like,
women in tabards with rolling pins looking, scowling at him, tapping their feet, like, oh. So he started his artwork reflected his mental state and grief.
yeah.
That was cool, I guess. I mean, it's not cool, it's horrible, but you know, I get the concept and how it
Yeah, and
relates to
it's I
this, yeah.
think it's that kind of thing.
That's fine. So what happened to the artist? You don't know.
I think he just died. He became
So he.
he became a recluse, and then he just soon after died. I think
So
that's all that's said
the
about him.
house at that
Or
point.
became the old man who now runs the.
Again,
No.
that's
It's
what I
not what
thought
happened, though, is
was
it? Making up your own story.
it works better. That's why he knows everything.
Okay, well,
I know.
either way, 30 years go by. I mean, it's pretty. I mean, you don't need a cursed house when a horrific murderer has been on the loose stealing babies. Fair enough, stealing one because you've lost a child. Maybe raise it as your own. No. I'm killing the babies because that mine's dead. And they need playmates. But like, so this village suffered an artist's wife going mad, and then the house was left alone, but also haunted, and has it cost the lives of people in the interim?
It's inferred that it has.
Like in a kind of haunted
Well,
houses, cursed,
there's
scary.
the implication that it was being kept there by whatever stone totem thing that they knocked over was.
So what? It's not the band. The poltergeist that haunts there is essentially the spirit of the mother turned baby killer, right? She's trapped in the house, but that's a safety precaution, so she isn't more of a menace or something.
I think it's yeah, well, so I think some of this is more of the Japanese mythology with ghosts, in that they like she's trapped there. They seal her away using that like t that totem thing that the cameraman knocks over, and she's just left to sort of fester with the ghosts of all of the children she killed. So she becomes more like I think the longer she's trapped, the more kind of powerful and malicious she
Right, so it's not
becomes.
just like a classic ghost story of she was bitter and angry and sad, so she's trapped repeating the same bullshit over and over and tormenting those who offend her. It's a bit more, she becomes a powerful, scary monster as well.
Yeah. Oh, it is a Ken. I was right.
I was right. You hear
A
that,
pile of
Abby?
stones.
Yeah, you're a pile of stones, Abby, for thinking it was wrong.
Thank you, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, for teaching me what
Oh, that sword's been
Ken.
adjusted. Right. I don't care anymore. Let's
Oh,
talk
God
about
Almighty,
the
I'm leaving the call. Goodbye, everyone.
Oh, how dare you? The things you've said. Right. So that's more or less straight in my mind now. That's the explanation for the concept.
Yeah, it's
What
pretty
the
basic, like
people.
haunted house curse
Not that
story.
basic. It's classic horror, stupid
Yeah.
rubbish. Oh, sorry, you're right. All horror films are brilliant, and I shouldn't have a go at it. What? So the people who are there, that doesn't make sense to me, right? A lot of it is shadows are attacking them. It's a bit like when in, I guess, in Evil Dead, they're all running from a camera that's going from the trees, and it's like, well, so what is attacking you? Shadow? The shadow is the shadow everywhere, mate.
I think the old man who knows a suspicious amount and it never is revealed why says that she lives in the shadows.
But this is what I didn't understand. Like, people are like, okay, she's shadows. We'll fight her by turning lights on her. And like the guy's like, oh, that'll just anger her. He
Well, he
goes,
says the more light there is, the more shadows there are. Like you shine
yeah,
a light on something, you create more shadows.
that's what I was thinking. It's like, yeah, that's good reasoning. And you go, where does shadow end and shadow begin? Because, right, okay, so if you have a light, you cast a shadow. You can't have light without darkness. But if your hat's on your head, is there shadow under your hat? If your mouth is
says that
closed, is there
the old
shadow in
man
your
says
mouth?
that at one point. He says like there's even shadow like in your closed fist. And it's like,
If
well, now
you
you're making this a problem now by saying that in the film,
Yeah.
because now you're making me think, well, where else
Yeah.
is there shadow?
Are
Like
there shadows in
shadow.
my bowels?
I was
Every
going to say the
shadow between
exact same thing.
in every layer of my body,
Yeah.
where does it, like, I think people intellectually, they think of shadows as something on a wall or a floor that is
Right.
cast by an object behind, in front of some light. But it's like there's just shadow everywhere there's not
Yeah, I
light.
think it's that they had a kind of cool visual effect of the shadows being cast acting as a representation of her.
Also, do we have shadow animals at the start of the film?
Yes. So
Like
we
the
have
ones you
Yeah.
use to entertain a
Yeah.
child.
And then we have that, and then you have the sort of tendrils going across the wall. And then later there's a really cool one that I liked where they use the sort of, again, more of the Japanese ghost stuff, the long black hair kind of becoming the shadows to represent the ghost of the woman, like her like presence. And I think they had that, and they had this concept of like, yeah, she lives in the shadows. Unfortunately, they specify it too much, and then it becomes
Yeah.
like a logistical problem. And I'm like, yeah, what does
There's
that
shadows
mean?
in every, I'm constantly in shadows. You have to pin the shadows down to a location. Otherwise, just fucking everywhere is the problem. I don't, a
Yeah,
lot of the
again,
time,
it's.
people wander around with impunity a lot of the time as well. It's not like
Yeah.
there's a constant threat. Abby, what did you make of all this shadow horror business?
I've watched a lot of anime in the last year or so, and I've seen a bunch of Japanese cinema. I think it's just a thing they do. You just have to take it on board as a thing they do.
Shadow shit.
I'm sure somewhere in like Japanese ghost lore, there is a specific ghost that exists as shadows. Like there's a yokai or something that is that specifically. Because,
Anyone
like I said, they have
was
very.
anyone like afraid of the dark or shadows when they were a kid?
Yes.
No. Anyone
Don't
else?
think I
But then
was.
I also thought there
I
was a
don't think
ghost in my
so.
house, so.
But you've subsequently had an exorcism and the ghost's gone, or
It may have been an owl in the attic.
so certainly more likely than a ghost.
Says you.
Yep,
What
person based in rational thought.
if it was a ghost of an owl?
You got me there. So, does that? I mean, you're older now, not so afraid of your own shadow. Is it an effective thing being shadows and darkness? I mean, it is scary because you can't see anything, but that's from a sheerly practical point of view, isn't it?
I would like to point out that every now and again in life, you do encounter a sucking dark
A sucking dark.
where
Well, it
you
sounds quite
look
nice.
over, and not only is it dark, you feel like it's actually sucking in light from elsewhere to
Yeah,
make
I
it
know what you
darker.
mean.
Like a black
There's a
hole.
kind of, it's like looking down if you're in a really dark house and you look down a staircase and it looks like the little like area that has some kind of light is being like pulled down into the dark at the bottom of the staircase. I
Okay.
think we're getting too abstract for Rich.
No. I'm just trying to. I've never thought of dark sucking the light away, but then I have a more traditional sense of light and dark as physics. But I like from the like it's more of an emotional or interpreting the visual
Yeah,
reaction to darkness.
emotional like perception based. But
Yeah.
what's the I'm trying to connect it with a Disco Elysium mechanic to make it make more sense for you.
Thanks.
Shivers.
Don't worry.
There's something about the dark in the country as
Yeah.
well, because you know there's stuff out there, like it's all myriad of animals and bugs,
Yeah. Yeah,
and you
but
can.
that's a fear of things in the forest, isn't it? You know what I
No,
mean?
but
But
they're the
darkness
ones making the
itself
little
is
noise.
not scary.
It can be. Like
Oh,
when.
I'm not saying I go wandering into the darkness, skipping and whistling. I
Yeah.
also am a bit like, the thing that gets me is when blackness where you can see your reflection, like a kitchen window, So it's black because you can see your face. Anything that moves then outside, you're like, oh, this is the end of me now.
Oh, there's a skeleton. No,
Yes.
I lived in a house in my teens where I was upstairs, and there was a wind in the room with the computer in it. There was a window directly to my left, and we lived like on the edge of town. So outside of that window was countryside. So at night, that window was a black square, and it was right in like the periphery of my vision. And it was one of the tensest places I think I've ever sat in my life. Eventually, I put a bunch of cardboard on it because I just didn't want it like fucking staring at me. Then, yeah, it has that like, there's just this void out there, but you know there's stuff there, which kind of makes it creepier.
Need a bit of pale moonlight to give things a bit of texture and context. Otherwise, it's the unknowing. The unknown is what's real, what you're afraid of. Anyway, get the abstract getting to grips with fear aside, this film plays it like, ooh, there's a spooky shadow. We just back away and run from them, but we never really get to see what the shadows are until we do, and then it's kind of insane and hilarious. Like when they actually do the visuals for this creepy creepiness, you know?
Do you mean when you actually see the
Well,
ghost of the
the end game is the big ghost monster, but I guess what are the other visual aspects? I mean, a lot of it is people burning. Let's talk about the deaths then. They come a
Yeah,
bit
they
earlier in the
are
reveal.
the best part of the film, so I've been waiting for
Still
this. Kind
sort of inexplicable, like the
of,
death of
yeah,
the
that's
cameraman's first, right? And he just
the
starts
sh
burning up.
well the sh yeah, well, she burned in the furnace and burned all those kids, so
But
that's
instead of shadows, it's light hits him, and he seems to start sort of
No,
burning
no,
and
no.
melting.
The shadows like envelop him, and then the fire comes from inside him. Like the lights and the sparks, like he combusts from the inside.
And then he is like burnt in two, so his legs
Yeah.
are all on the ground, and his
Well,
torso gets to crawl about.
his feet are on the ground, but his legs and like his midsection like melt through the floor.
There's a big hole in the floor. What's going on? So this ghost can just burn through you, is it?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying,
It's
because
horrible,
she,
but
yeah,
what are we talking about? Why can't
she,
I do that to all of them really easily?
well, it kind of does.
It
That's
doesn't
how
though,
it,
because there's three of them live.
well, yeah, but that's arbitrary storytelling stuff.
I just feel sorry for him because he's just not doing much. He doesn't. It's not like he has
no,
sex
I
in a
know,
horror film and therefore is deserving of death, like we've come to learn.
it's one of the more, like, effective kills in the film because he's kind of the most sim well, no, the
He's
dad's
not. He's
sympathetic too,
just
but
some
like,
random normal guy
yeah,
not
he's just the
minding
guy
his own.
who seems fine. And then the first scare happens when, because the host of the show gets like possessed, and she
Yeah, oh,
digs
that's
up
right.
the
She digs
baby
up the baby in the sort of
because
makeshift
the
grave.
actually I was going to say the cameraman didn't do anything wrong, but he kind of did, but not on purpose, because he knocks over the cairn and
Oh,
uses
right,
a
yeah.
stone to open a
Okay.
door, and
Not
then
that you
and
have to
finds
do.
a finds
You can be a
Chekhov's
prick and you don't
halberd.
deserve to be melted alive, do you?
Yeah, no, I'm
It
not
doesn't
saying he
really.
deserved it, but yeah, he.
The horse does become possessed and she doesn't remember digging up the most elaborate child coffin.
Yeah.
Abby, did you have any descriptions for the child coffin? I seem to remember you remarking on it when we were watching it.
No, you didn't know what it was, but I immediately knew what it was because
Oh,
of what
yeah.
I've been watching lately. I was like, no,
Oh.
that's a sarcophagus.
I see. So it was more, oh, what's this weird wooden puzzle they found? Oh, it's got a horrible Kinder Egg surprise. Oh, it's got a literal Kinder Surprise in it.
Did a really poor job of struggling to open that several times as well.
Some very like stage acting in parts.
When you're an undertaker designing a coffin for a child, what's the clasp decision you have to come to? That's what I wonder. Do we have a pull and drag, or more? If we're thinking of having a little another peep at the dead baby, what motion should we use to unlock the wooden mechanism? I don't know. It should definitely be elaborate, though. Anthony, what do you make of some of these? The melt effect, I guess the axe death. If I mean that, an axe just sort of floated off and hit a woman in the head.
Yeah, though, because they did set up that giant axe for a
Yeah.
long time, and it was just, oh, it fell over.
I thought it was gonna do that. I thought it was gonna, like, as soon as he walked in with it and then put it in the corner, I was like, that's gonna kill someone. But I
Yeah,
thought it was gonna
absolutely.
happen much later. The fact, because I thought the host was gonna be much more, I thought she was gonna get more and more possessed as it went on and be like taken
And
over by the
get
mother.
taken
And it's
over.
just like, nope,
No, she's gone.
thunk.
Did you find that as a did the film disappoint you with it, the fact that it came up with some interesting visuals and then went, we're going a different way? It seems like you guys had predictions that didn't come true. Was that a frustration watching the film?
Yeah, absolutely. Because other than the actual the deaths, that's like it's hard to find anything to talk about with this film. Because like between them, even though they are kind of spectacular in their own way, there's just plodding going on, and
It's
it's like, oh my God.
straightforward in terms of the story. Like, there's no surprises other than how over the top the gore is.
There's no urgency for a lot of it as well. There's a lot of milling, like a lot of not find, like some of the people are missing while the first deaths happen. Then they encounter them, and then they're just there. I guess they, is it Emmy or someone? She's trapped
She gets
eventually, so
taken
they
because
have to
she
try and
sees.
statists rescue her, right?
Her mother died when she was young, and then she sees her mother as, like, the ghost shows itself as her mother, so she wanders off and it shuts her away. So I guess it's like the ghost is trying to claim another child.
And that motivates everyone who's left to stay and rescue her
Get
rather
her
than
out.
just go, oh, no thanks.
Oh yeah, that was another setup the film does, which was really odd. Because there's a scene where Emmy comes in and she's got like this yellow, weird yellow dress on, and she's like, "Yeah, it's my mother's. I wear it from time to time to remind me of her." And that was very odd. It was like really obvious that like that's going to come up again at some point, but it's
Well,
like
it
that
does,
was a bit
but
of a stretch. Like,
it
why would
does,
we
but
have this in
yeah.
a haunted house?
She tries to give it to the woman, the director woman, who she's trying to set up with her dad, who I guess she kind of sees as a mother figure, and
What,
then
so if
she
you
says,
wear
"No, you keep it. You're
my dead mum's dress, but
yeah."
my
It's
dad
weird.
will find you hot?
It's
Fucking
weird,
hell.
but. She's like, "No, you keep that. Your mum would want you to keep it." But then later in the film, and this is the bit where I was talking about, I thought I'd skipped ahead. The dad goes back in to save the daughter, leaves the woman outside. She digs up the baby, and then there's a hard cut to her suddenly being inside the house wearing that yellow dress. And I was like, "Hang on, when did what happened?" And I went
I
back
think
thinking.
after, yeah, I thought there's another bit where I think the kills happen, and then we jump cut to just the woman with ropey hair at the garage, or driving a Jeep or whatever. You're like, what's
I think
going
it's
on?
that there's a lot of odd edits, and I think that's part of what the director was ultimately frustrated by when the film actually came out. He was like, "You've made this more confusing than it needs to be."
I think any other director looking at it would be like, what the fuck have you done editing it this way?
Yeah.
It's very
But
odd.
no, the actual effects, though, the guy crawling around after he's been halved and assumingly cauterized, which is why he's still alive.
No, I think Jamie, he's in the floor to set. He's like pretending his legs are actually below him,
I
and the
liked,
legs are fake, you see? That's
but
how they do that effect, is they have a man
stop
under hidden.
spoiling his fun. Because they had to do it that way, his head is at a really odd angle, which adds to how, like, creepy his awkward movements are.
He's not making sense either. Why is he like, he's like crawling after her as if trying to grab her by the
I
dress
think
to,
he's
he needs
trying to get
help.
her to help. He keeps
What can they
saying,
do?
"Help."
Stitch him together
I
again?
don't know. I
He
think
should be
he's quite
dead.
desperate.
I think, yeah, I'm just going to say, I think he might be a bit panicked at that point.
I think he's doing rather well for someone who's halved.
And it adds to like the horribleness when she just beats him
To
to
death,
death.
yeah. He wasn't
Because
cauterized, he kept squirting bits out. It was oh, you're
horrid.
right, because they add a lot of unnecessary squirting and slimy sound effects in as he's like crawling off his.
It is. I like the fact that upon being terrified by this half friend of ex partner, half colleague of yours is trying to get you, and he's dead or dying, and then you fucking beat him to death.
I
You
mean,
kind of
she's kind of
deserve
doing
a
him a
knife to the
favor.
head. So Jamie, there was something in WhatsApp that troubled both me and Abby, and it was that your comment about liking the look or smell or taste of what would have happened
No.
when the woman
So
is cooked in the wheelchair or something.
What happened is, so she gets axed in the head while she's sitting in the wheelchair, and then she's left there for dead. And the family come back in because they know there's two people left in the house, and we have to go and save them. And they come in, they find the guy in half on the floor with a head wound from where he's been killed. And then they go into another room, and there's like red ambient light in there, and we see that what's happening, I guess, like again, the firepower of the ghost. The woman in the chair, after being axed, has turned into like a weird like lava fountain. Like, I don't quite know how to describe the visual.
It's what. How can I put this now? If you were on acid and you were staring at a lava lamp, at it's like late stage, everything's flowing, it's all going. That.
But then you were looking at that, and then someone came into the room and you looked at them, and your brain transferred that image onto their body.
And then you say, when I saw that lady melting in the wheelchair, I thought, I bet that smells delicious.
Yeah, because it probably
What
does.
do you mean, yeah?
She's been sitting there cooking for like God
You're a
knows how
cannibal?
long.
Are you
What's wrong
a,
with
are you a
you?
cannibal, Dewey?
No, I just, it's, she's probably been, it's like a brisket of
No.
human flesh. Yeah. I
Dewey,
mean,
no.
actually, I get it.
I'm
This
not
is
saying
not okay. This
I'm
is
not
not
saying I would
fine.
eat it. I'm just saying it probably smells like
It's not mentally well to think burning flesh on a
the
human would smell good. I think famously smells terrifying and horrible.
I've heard it smells like pork.
From who? Your friends on the internet?
I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts, and some
Please
of them
stop.
have.
And some of them talk to Armie Hammer about his favorite practices.
And you think he's all right, actually?
No, I'm not agreeing with it.
But I'm bringing it up like a creep. All right, so you're mental. Got ya. I was
I will
when I
say, like the melting, like the lava effect was, it was like the only moment where the kind of abstract horror of it was really good, if
Yeah,
you
I
know what I
wish there
mean.
was more of that kind of visual in the film.
Oh,
Because it's like.
it made me want to get marshmallow s'mores and melt them over a
Because
corpse.
it's not like. It's not the more kind of on the nose horror that is that's still
Yeah.
cool because the practical effects are just entertaining to watch. But it is, yeah, it's more sort of dreamlike and strange than the other deaths. We should probably talk about the other death because it is the best one in the film.
Yeah. The only other thing, there's a few ambiguous moments where like people go through lightning barriers that look a bit corny and have no real explanation.
Yeah, it's kind of that's the stuff that made me think of Poltergeist a little bit. Like the whenever they open the closet and they're, Poltergeist, I can't remember what year it came out, it was before this, but like they're definitely better special effects, but probably much bigger budget, and it had Steven Spielberg and Tobe Hooper involved. Like, but it's the similar thing of like a door to a house having like a gateway to somewhere else in it.
Yeah, but the good, amazing visual one that stands out was old man mechanic guy has spent his load telling the story and is now going to heroically try and save the
Hold on, he
girl.
sings a song as well.
And he squishes a glass shape bo a
Yeah.
bottle into the new shape.
Again, I
And
thought it was
he's.
going to turn out that he has some kind of magic powers
Yeah.
himself that he's keeping secret. Or so, no, he's just drunk
He
and
sings a
brave.
song, right? And he pops into the darkness to confront her in the shadows. I don't know
And
what
to
he's going to
get, well,
do.
to get Emmy out the
Yeah,
Dorset.
and does he does she she's rescued a couple of times. Does he succeed or does he literally just pop out and is
He
melted?
does succeed. He pops out
Yeah,
with her, but he's
he
like
brings her out.
burning up.
And then he, so this, there's two reasons why this is my favorite part of the film. One is the obvious one. It's a really good showcase of just like very gross but an impressive
The
practical
multiple
effects.
transitions from
Yeah.
I'm catching fire to my flesh is melting to my eyeballs are melting,
And
things are running out of my
it's
face, my flesh is melting and peeling off, my skeleton is drying up and crumbling. It runs the gamut.
But still moving, so apparently it's still alive. The
And
poor guy does not
you've
deserve
just
it.
perfectly described what it feels like to work in retail.
But also, the people are so horrified they should run away. But they're like, "Fuck,
So
this is fascinating.
this
We're
is
gonna watch. We're gonna watch this for minutes."
So this is the other reason why it's my favorite part of the film, because he comes out and he's like smoking and clearly already in the process of melting, and the daughter joins them, and then he's like, "Run, run away!" And then they're like backing off in horror, and he's like, "No, run, guys, run."
You're so visually well done. We have to take it in.
But this is so impressive and cool and also horrifying. We can't run. Like,
we
he's like, nope, guys, this is getting kind of serious. You
it might hurt you
run.
In a bit. Yeah.
Just something about the fact that he's pleading with them to run as he melts, and they're just gradually backing away, looking horrified.
Yeah. It's tremendous. I enjoyed it, that bit.
But yeah, it is. It's a great effect. Like, his skin just sloughing off, and then the skeleton, and them just basically showing off that they built a skeleton, presumably. Hopefully they didn't buy and use a real one. But there's like they made a skeleton and then just popped it. And like, I guess they probably put little, like, I don't know, explosive charges on it, because it sort of blows up in bits at the end
it's
before
really
it
good.
completely falls apart.
It must be animated partly as well, isn't it? So, I mean, like, it's animated, but it's also, oh yeah, it's just great. The ramification here is, though, if you accidentally kill your child, whatever the theme is of that death, you have those powers in ghost form. Is that
I feel
how
like
does
that's a
that?
pretty typical ghost story thing.
So if I accidentally drown someone and then I go about drowning more people as
well,
a vindictive move, then in death my ghost has water powers.
Yeah, that's the thing in the American remake of The Ring. The girl drowned in the well, and then whenever people are killed by her, they're like waterlogged and like swollen, and there's water everywhere.
So if I hit someone in my car, do I become Optimus Prime? How does that work? About, like,
You've
if I crush someone with a truck, like, I just want to know the how. Well,
I
I
think
kill
you've just
someone with
given me.
bullion, I can make everyone rich because I can bring gold, I can kill people with gold or something. I don't know.
I thought you meant like chicken bullion.
Chicken bullion. What?
Turn everybody into soup.
Or is that a type of bullion? Chicken,
like, yeah, like stock.
Is that
it's another word for chicken stock?
I've never heard of that. Chicken stock's just a really good
Bouillon.
Concert in the 60s. Where were you when I went to chicken stock?
Shut up.
But it's weird, right? But it's a convention, what your answer
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's fairly typical ghost story stuff.
I see. So after Mechanic dies, the problem they have is Emmy is somehow given back to the ghost.
They're trying to get out of the house, and the house is like locked in the middle. Again, Evil Dead style, the house is like manipulating the shadows to get
ghost powers, right?
Keep them, yeah. So they get out, but the ghost manages to grab Emmy at the last second.
Yeah.
So then they're like, fuck. We got, and then that's when the dad's like, I have to go back.
I need a pee. Go to the bathroom.
And leaves the woman outside, and then she digs up the baby because I guess she has an idea. And then she
Plan
starts
B.
saying, please give me the power of mental. What did she say? The power of mind. Please give me the power of mind. And I said, did the old man say that? I don't remember.
Yeah.
He did say that.
He didn't phrase it quite that way. She was using like a variation of what
right.
he said.
So she's referring to his whole like concentration thing.
Yeah.
She doesn't squash any bottles into new shapes.
Yeah.
But she does, she's really canny in that she thinks, well, I'm not going to bargain with a ghost. Here's your dead baby. I want our girl back.
What she's doing.
She's
going to
tie a rope
sense.
Around the coffin so she can go fishing for poltergeists.
This is one of the bits of the film where I was like, well, we could have done this quicker. Because like we've had a lot of mental stuff happen, and now we've gone back to just like going down a hall
also,
and
we've
climbing
the
over a hole.
We've dug the baby up and reburied it subsequently. Like they discover the baby's been dug up, and they're like, "Oh fuck, put that back."
Yeah,
but that
I think
kind
they
of
would
resolved things a lot sooner.
Well, that's it. Didn't though. I think they thought it would. Like it's kind of like
ultimately it did though. Like it didn't.
Well, no, that's because she wants the baby back.
Right.
Like that's the thing, but people buried it And I guess treating it like a curse, they buried it, put the cairns up, and kept all of it locked away. Whereas
But
what they should have done is
just dug the baby up.
given her the baby and been like, yeah, sorry.
But she had the dead baby. She found it in the furnace.
But it was
But
buried.
she,
And
so
then
she
they
would have
took
been
it away
alive
from
when it
her.
was buried.
Well, they probably, they, no, wait. It wasn't in the furnace. She pulled the baby out when it was dead and it got
Yeah,
buried. And then she
but
started
she
putting
was
other
alive
kids
for
in
that.
there.
She could have retrieved the dead baby any time. She
I
wanted a
think it's
living
more of
baby.
like a spirits in the afterlife reuniting kind of thing.
Yeah, I also get the impression that maybe she wasn't in her right mind when she was throwing
Right
all those
mind.
kids in the furnace.
She had a mental illness. By
No.
this stage, she was a shadow ghost. It doesn't
No,
make
she
it
wasn't.
doesn't I know it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't make sense because like if you were separated from your baby in the spirit realm, that's one thing. But she had access to a dead baby. That she wants a living baby, right?
No,
That's why she's
she wasn't killing the kids as a ghost.
doing it to be as a human, she was killing the ghost so it would have friends in the
No.
afterlife. Yeah?
She was killing children when she was human.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm
And then she
saying.
killed herself.
She fed more children into the furnace to
Yes.
give her dead baby
Yes.
playmates. I like the idea that they all die and then all these ghost babies are like rugrats, but they all don't like the baby who was
Well,
killed by accident.
we find out that they are part of her.
Oh yeah, what was I didn't really understand. Other people's babies become part of the
Well,
overall
their
their
ghost,
killer's ghost.
they were killed like unfairly. Like it's all part of this like curse of what she
Why,
did and the malice and
if
stuff.
some
Like,
woman snatches you and kills you, you don't become a part of her face and body in the afterlife, do you?
think of it more as a manifestation of her guilt and anguish.
Yes.
All right, okay, there we go. I think it's too abstract to worry about. Got it.
Basically,
The
the ghosts are all one ghost, and giving the baby back and
solution, though,
sets them all
the
free.
coffin tied around a rope doesn't work. It gets Emmy given back. But I guess the ghost is trying to double cross because it keeps still to attack them.
I think
It's
the
only until they
ghost.
crack open the because she like puts on the dress and everything. Like it's only when the baby's taken out of the coffin and given to the ghost
Yeah, I think
monster.
she's trying to reason with something that isn't reasonable because the ghost of
Women,
the
am I
woman
right?
is
Mothers.
the ghost of the woman is so like lost in like that guilt and
Evil
malice. She's
guilt and
not,
yeah.
yeah. So, and it's only when Emmy makes the gesture of like
And she's like a
handing her
child.
child back. And yeah, she's a child as well. She's
There was
an
some line. There was
innocent.
some line from the mechanic about, "Oh, are any of you? It's handy if any of you are like mums or mums with
This is
dead
so
children,
this
because
is
that would be
another thing.
good."
Whenever he asks that, and the woman she says no in a very like curt way.
Like she's saying, "I didn't have
She's
a
like, no,
miscarriage or
never.
something." Like I thought they'd bring up, "Oh, she had a miscarriage or her
Yes.
child died, and that would make her the equal to the
And then
poltergeist
the
and
mother would understand and she would be freed because of this shared trauma, but like, no,
Yeah,
I
but no,
just
that's
nope.
not the case. She just hasn't had children.
And then the dad gets all shitty. It's like, well, my chop liver. How
I'm a
about
dad. I
that? Yeah,
know a
we're
child.
fucking. Well, it turns out he was
Yeah.
hiding in a closet, though.
It just falls out of a cupboard at the end. What happened to him? He was brave enough to go in and then was so scared and shit up by the ghost that he just hides.
I assume he just probably got fucking lost and then scared.
The
I would
cupboard
assume he
protects you
went
from
in,
burning
it
up,
was
though.
completely dark. He's
Yeah.
fumbling around in the dark, finds a cabinet, just gets in. He just
Him
ended
get
up in a
him getting in
closet.
the cupboard or a closet is kind of metaphorical about him being gay and not being able to get a woman, and his daughter doesn't know that he's gay.
I think
She
you
keeps
were
setting it
giving
up.
the film too much credit now.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, the mother arrives as a big, again, poltergeist style, incredible puppet with a big horrible face. She lost an eye in the fire as well, so she's got this like
Like,
half
I'm just
melted
fishing.
face.
I'll fish my burning baby out of the furnace. I've hurt, burnt my eye, but I'm going to continue living. Why is that? Just so it would be creepy looking? Is that
Yeah,
that's the
just so
reason?
it looks spooky. There's a couple of really good shots of her like semi-obscured face suddenly appearing that I really liked.
Yeah, okay. Andy, what do you make of this big, ooky spooky monster version of the mum's ghost?
I thought it was really well done. Like, it did have a tad of, because they've done this several times since, and probably slightly better. I've seen similar things. So when you put it up against like those, it's a little goofy, but I loved it.
Kind
Plus,
of.
it's one of the very few things this film has going for it.
Yeah,
Stand,
like this
make it stand out
big,
more.
impressive puppet
Like a boss in a
ghost.
video game, presumably, you know.
It genuinely conveyed emotion. Like when it
Yeah.
cried, that was genuinely affecting.
Yeah, I was really surprised at how, I mean, I shouldn't be. Again, it's fucking Dick Smith doing the like face stuff specifically, but like the puppet face was really well articulated.
It almost looked like it had multiple arms because it was extra, like rags and hair and
I
things.
think it maybe did. I couldn't quite make all of it out, but yeah, it's
So it's
also
a
covered
big.
in horrible baby heads.
Those emerge as we go on as a kind of
Yeah.
extra creepy thing. Yeah.
It
So let's.
reminded me of, I keep bringing up Poltergeist, but like it's a very obvious comparison. Like there's the big spindly demon thing that comes out of the closet in the first film, and then in the second film there's also that I think it's just called the Beast, and it's a combination of all of the ghosts of people, just like a bunch of faces all together. There's the one in Evil Dead 2 as well, where it comes through the door, and it's the big like chomping mouth thing with all the heads of the people that have been claimed by it growing out of it.
Horror is very silly, isn't it?
That's why I love it.
Yeah.
It's like comedy. Like it's
Well,
like silly nonsense.
oh, I think you're finally understanding where the
You're meant to be
intersection
creeped
is
out and
here.
scared, but I'm saying
It
you
will.
literally can laugh at how stupid the
I mean,
concepts are and what the visuals are.
it depends on the presentation. And that's part of the problem with this film, is that it doesn't quite know or commit confidently to either being fully creepy or being more of a kind of horror comedy, like an Evil Dead film.
Yeah, I mean,
But I love this puppet.
it's impressive, and it is, as Anthony said, the one unique standout bit that is going to be the thing that you can remember about this film when
This and the
nothing else
Melting
is
Man.
unique. Yeah, those are the
Yes.
two moments, aren't they?
Well, unfortunately, I do think there is another moment that is also very memorable in the wrong way, and it comes immediately after this, and it's when they give the baby back, and there's a very t there's it's a very touching scene that I was surprised that I found it quite affecting, considering how sort of silly and kind of bored I was this boring this film was. But I was quite touched by the ghost being reunited with the baby, and then like they turn to like a gold light, and I was like, well, that's nice. It's I'm surprised and pleased that this had a happy ending, and they become brighter. And I thought what was going to happen was that they would become really, really bright, and the film, the room would fill with light, and then it would fade out, and it would just be the two characters left in the room, and they would leave the house. And they're reunited with the dad, which is nice, but that's not quite what happens. What
It's
happens
off to
is
heaven.
it continues to turn into a big gold shit looking bit of CGI, very early rudimentary CGI. And then starts to take off into the sky, and we watch for an agonizingly long time some of the worst special effects I've seen in a while. And it's very unfortunate because it comes right after that amazing puppet, and we get this awful looking like late 80s CG.
I mean, I don't know religiously what the ramifications are of the afterlife in Japan and for ghosts, but is there a Japanese Saint Peter type figure at the gates of heaven being right? There's a weird, creepy baby mum monster here.
I don't think she looks
She.
creepy anymore. I think she probably
All right.
looks more like she
They, yeah,
did.
there was a.
So.
They did slightly transform more normal looking
Okay.
before.
And so Saint Peter, Japanese Saint Peter's there with his clipboard. Maybe
So,
digitized, a nice Sony clipboard with digital with a
you and all
pen.
these
He's
you and all these
there.
babies, were they all yours? And
So
she's like,
in
no.
life, yeah, you murdered babies,
And now they're all here
but
with you, and you want to get in.
you got your dead baby back. You want to commit. What is it you've done again? Been a horrible monster for 30 years, haunting and killing people. Not seeing a reason why we let you in.
The
You also
baby can come in,
accidentally, yeah, the baby
and all the
came
other
in years
ones.
ago. Whatever you've got, Yeah, it's really fucked up. And then there's a burnt guy there, like, hey, and then the half cameraman, all right? And then
My top
fucking
half
axe
got in.
head, like we all got in easy because we were just nice people. You bitch, fucking hell. So is it just the Japanese don't treat heaven and hell the same way, or
I don't know enough to
what's the afterlife? The afterlife's just
say.
you just go up in the clouds and don't worry about
Which I
it.
prefer. She's freed in some way, I guess, and all the
Yeah.
other babies are, because you see all the little lights around her as she goes up, so.
Yeah.
I could not get over how bad that effect was at right after a really good one as well.
Yeah, and then they have a little bit of almost comedy where the not mother and daughter, but like the woman and the young girl escape the house and are like, what happened to my dad? I'll tell you later. No, I'll tell you now. Here he is, just wandering out of the
I
bushes,
did.
disheveled.
I appreciated the fact that, like, you know, typically you want a character like him to go through some growth where, like, he finds
Not
his
another
confidence
baby
and his
growth. Oh
bravery.
no, he's had
His bra
baby. He's had
he
a
finds,
growth.
you know, he grows a pair, which he kind of does. He goes back into the
Oh.
house to find his daughter. But I do like at the end, he's still kind of like floppy and a bit shit and is stumbling around like, fucking hell, what happened?
You would be though, wouldn't you?
Oh
Horrible.
yeah, he's quite relatable in a lot
Yeah,
of aspects in this film. But I was pleasantly surprised that it does have quite of a it hasn't ha happy, I guess, ending.
have these people trauma bonded so they're a family now?
Yeah,
Yeah.
presumably.
Okay. Let's hope none of them die and one of them gets cursed into murdering other people. Fuck it. It wasn't a very sweet home after all, guys.
Well, it
It
collapses after the credits, so.
was. I guess they didn't call it home sweet home. That would have been what was on one of the frescoes. And I guess
Yeah.
the obvious thing
Well,
is the sweet home
I
comes from
think
the fact it was a horrible home.
it has an alternate title, which is just the Mamiya House, I think.
So that's like a surname, is it, of the family
That's the
who's,
family, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, that's less. I mean, it's fine calling it Sweet Home. I have no problem with that. I guess we're still. It's like, Abby, what are your final thoughts? I mean, have you basically watched something, alluded to the fact you found it boring? There's a lot to talk about, is there really? So you haven't said that much, but what are your final thoughts on it?
It was worth watching it for the handful of places it excelled, I would say. But I wouldn't watch it again. I would say, like, when I was explaining this to someone at work, they seemed quite interested in it, and I was like, you don't understand. But
There's a
you
lot
might
of
like
milling
it.
about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So I
because
guess you
the
need to be
nature of
into the horror
recapping it,
genre.
sorry, the nature of it recapping it is to leave out the bits where nothing happened.
Yeah. If you like the genre, there's something in it for you. If you're not that fond of the genre, eh, probably not.
I mean, I think that's fair. I would more or less agree that visual effects fans should watch it for that aspect. But there wasn't much else to get from it because it was so, even though it was ahead of the curve, it was still quite cliche riddled and very, very pedestrian in terms of what it had to say about anything. I didn't feel like there was a deep meaning to it. It was just like, oh, isn't that fucking horrible and weird?
Sort of like
I
put this
guess.
in, do this,
Couple
the
of that,
end.
all this stuff, yeah. And then the characters, none of them were that interesting. The heroes or the villain, it was all very like shrug and boring. And then it was disgusting in an imaginative way. And none of it made any fucking sense. There's nothing for me to sink my teeth into concept wise. It's just fucking all just arbitrary, spooky nonsense. Yeah. So shit. Shit, sweet. Shit, home, sweet shit. I don't know. Jamie, no, actually, I should ask Anthony next because you can have the last thought on it because you picked it, Jamie. Anthony, what do you think?
There was something that Abby said in our chats when she watched this, and it was like, how can something so gruesome be so boring? And it is, it like it's. It's confoundingly slow and boring in the parts where gruesomeness isn't happening, which isn't that remarkable. Like, most horror films are like that. You need the downtime. You need the kind of like slower pace bits to build up to those big bits. And I can't quite put my finger on why this film is different, why you feel the slowness and the boredom of this one so much.
I think it's that there's not a lot going on in those slower bits, because that's the thing with a good horror. When it does have that downtime, it fills it with something.
You get to
Like
know
they're,
characters you're interested in. Like, what did you say, Abby?
or like they're taking a moment where if one of them's injured, they'll bandage the injured person. There's just
Yes,
a
stuff
little
is
bit
happening.
of like side business happens in the slower bits of horror movies generally. Whereas here, it was just, this is a slow bit. Someone is dead. They don't know yet, but they're not going to find out in this slow bit. It's just a slow bit.
The characters also don't get to communicate to each other very often. Everyone's sort of separate, and then someone's in peril or dead. So the characters don't bond and then slowly get picked off. They are separate, then they are dead, then one of them is captured, then they're told a bunch of shit, then they deal with it. At no point is it people regrouping and trying to fight off, like Cabin in the Woods style. Someone gets killed, and everyone else has to sort of tell each other about it and learn and make decisions. This one, they just thrown in the deep end, and they're like, oh, bollocks, I guess it's a mum monster.
I remembered something.
Yeah.
It's only a tiny little point, but I wanted to give this the award for the shortest low octane car crash.
That was shit, wasn't it?
She drove about 6 feet, maybe a little bit more, into a tree, which somehow broke their engine. It's like you wouldn't even necessarily scuff your bumper if you've gone that far and hit
Oh,
something.
there is one other thing I just remembered about the film, which was odd. It was like the suit that the art woman wears when she's cleaning up the walls,
Yeah.
where
She looked like she was in a Bond film all of a sudden,
Yeah. Which is
yeah, and
one of
then but
Doctor No's people.
yeah, and then like she's like hoovering off what they call dust, but it was like
Yeah.
was well, definitely not dust. And then there was like a little pipe coming out of her head where all the dust was coming out when she's moving.
Yeah, that was weird.
You're right.
Well, why would you want it to come out again? Surely the dust being collected together would be good, right?
Yeah. Or just
Well,
somewhere not out of your head.
I reckon
But
if she had if she was around today and not dead, thanks to halberd or whatever, she'd clean up on TikTok. Cleaning frescoes on
Oh
TikTok would
yeah,
go
absolutely.
gangbusters. Especially if you've got a weird pipe thing spitting out dust. That's extra weird.
But yeah, it's I was fighting not to fall asleep in parts of this film
You've
so
got to
hard.
give in, Anthony, and have a little sleepy like I did.
Oh, I do it often. I had to finish the film. But no, like I don't know if I can like recommend this to anyone other than like those one or two scenes in it. I say just watch those on like a YouTube clip or something. I don't bother with the film.
Okay, so Jamie, not a successful showing. Any final thoughts?
I think there's surprisingly a bit more of a consensus than I think I was initially expecting, because it sounds like everyone's takeaways are kind of similar to mine. Like the gore effects and all of that stuff, the practical effects generally are far and away the highlight. And it is like the bits between that are so just sort of flat and very standard. Like story-wise, it's very unremarkable. And I think it's, unless you're just someone who's so into horror movies that you feel like you have to see all of them, or like, all of the ones that are the weird offbeat cult ones, it's maybe more worth watching one of the YouTube videos that goes over like the history of it, and like,
We'll
because
give
I
them
the
another plug. They're not going to give us a plug.
Please give us plug. They're not rival podcasts, don't worry about it. But Yeah, it's like the history of the film and it and what it ended up influencing and how oddly important the film is, even though it's just this forgotten thing. All of that is more interesting than the actual content of the film
You
itself.
get that a lot with first things, though. Like, the first one's never the best one.
Right,
They
it's just
just.
yeah. And I'm sure, like from everything I've heard, a lot of the people who have like played the game really like it. So if maybe seek out one of the because people have gone in and like translated it in recent years, like
But it
given it
isn't
like
one of those, it isn't a success for video game adaptations because it wasn't adapted from the video game. It was simultaneous, like
yeah, they were
the
made
same
concurrently,
year.
and like the some of the people involved making the film also were involved in making the game. And to like, I find that interesting as well as someone who always pitches video game based movies, knowing that by and large they're all pieces of shit.
It's like a real chicken and
So,
the egg thing.
yeah.
Because it's like neither of them came first, so you can't really say one's an
Well, I
adaptation
think
of the other.
the film technically came out
The film
first.
was being made initially, and then they started making the. And also, the game was published by Capcom, who published all of the Resident Evil games. But I
Wait,
find
you're
that
making it seem
interesting.
interesting again. It wasn't interesting. Don't
No,
watch
that's what I'm
it.
saying. This is the bit that's actually worth paying attention to rather than watching the film. Just watch the gory bits on YouTube in some kind of compilation and then research the actual history and maybe play the game if you're all right with like very difficult RPGs with turn-based combat. Because it is interesting what it led to and how influential it is for what it is. And also the director did direct one of my favorite Asian horror films it with Pulse years later, 2001, I think that came out.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, Richard
Apparently,
Hayter. I
the cure is good by the director as well.
haven't seen that one.
No. Well, I won't be running off to watch any more of his films, but
Oh,
I'm sure you can
you would
improve on them.
hate Pulse. I might pitch it one day.
Oh yeah. Thanks a lot for you,
Didn't you
Rich.
say? We'll do it. Thanks.
Wait, didn't you say before this he made softcore crime fiction? Because that sounds like something Rich would like.
He made, yeah, I think he made like kind of softcore porn and Yakuza like gangster movies.
Now we go further back in his career. That's another way to go. Some people humping navels. Can't wait. Anyway, join us again for a less cursed film, and let's be honest, more cursed films on further podcasts.
I was going to say this was boring and kind of
Bo
dull,
boring isn't a cardinal sin.
but we've done far worse than this. We recently did Freddy as FR07, which is a film that challenges you to finish watching it.
I mean, we have done Ghost Dad, which makes a lovely double box
Oh
set with
my
this one.
God. Speaking of fucking cursed.
Speaking of
Oh my.
monsters, if only Bill Cosby was a video game and not a real date rapist. Anyway, sorry, weird ending. Join us again for more fun chats. I think we did that. I think we did the Ghost Dad review before it was known what Bill Cosby was really like. So we won't mention that at all in that review. But there's that and many others to listen to on our website, spoilerfilledfilm.com or on WordPress, or I don't even fucking know.
Oh, fuck's sake, Rich.
Okay. Oh, we can plug other people's YouTube channels, but when it comes
No,
to our own.
if you don't know what it is.
It's spoiler
I was
filled
going
film
to say.
conversation, hooray! But that's so long that it ends up being spoiler filled film. Well, if you type spoiler filled film into Google, you will no doubt find one of our many podcasts.
If they've listened to this one, they've already found it.
Well, these people who
Maybe
listen to
not.
this one already have watched these YouTube videos and have watched the film and love horror and video games so much, they'll scrape any old shit off their shoe to watch if it relates to
Also,
their
very angry at
personal.
us for insulting the film.
Yeah, they switched
Yeah.
off when we started slagging it off and not saying how brilliant and informative it was on the genre. And no, we did, as soon as we didn't know our facts, they were gone. So fuck them. But anyone who stuck around, there's other podcasts of ours. Please listen. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.